Let's open our Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, we will be picking up in verse 16 for a Bible study titled, How to Fast. I noticed that Arnold said that we're going to talk about fasting. It got awfully silent in here. You know, no one's like, woohoo, let's not eat. Chapter 6, verse 16. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so that you do not appear to be fasting, but to your Father in heaven, verse 18, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who is in secret will reward you openly. And I want to pray again. Lord, I do think that this is an area of our lives where many of us, we are just missing the blessings and the power that is available to us through fasting before you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts this morning, open our minds. I would imagine that there is more than one person in here that has something going on in their lives. Maybe they have a decision they have to make. Maybe there's a difficulty. Maybe they're dealing with a health issue. And this morning, maybe you would tell them, come to me, fast, Lord, fast. And so I just ask God that you would open our hearts this morning to what you have to say. We love you, in your name we pray. Amen. As we continue in Matthew chapter 6, many of you have been with us through this study. We are in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount was a sermon that was given by Jesus on a hillside on the northwest shore of the Sea of Galilee. Anyone ever been to that location? I'm just curious. Anyone ever been? Okay, we've got a couple hands. That's cool. Things fell through. I have to get a knee replacement, so you know how that goes. But I've never been. I look forward to the time that I get to go. But there he was. He spoke to a multitude of people who had come from all over the region to hear him teach and to watch him perform miracles. And while he did preach to a multitude of people, this sermon is really directed at his disciples. And when we talk about disciples at the Sermon on the Mount, we're not talking about just the 12. We're talking about all of us. Anyone that would desire to be a follower of Jesus, this is who he's talking to. He's talking to you and I. And he's been talking to us about what it looks like to be a citizen in God's kingdom. That God requires a different righteousness of his citizens than really what the religious leaders were requiring. He requires a righteousness that doesn't start on the outside, but begins on the inside with the work of the Holy Spirit that starts an inward transformation that manifests itself really in the fruit of the Spirit and the things that people see. Now this sermon, not mine, Jesus's, probably the greatest sermon ever. I say probably. Jesus gave the sermon. It's the greatest sermon ever given, right? It was given by Jesus. How do you get better than the sermon? Imagine hearing Jesus speak. Be like, oh yeah, I don't know, Jesus. Maybe you need to up your game next week. I don't think that was the conversation. I doubt he was distracted. He probably stumbled through his words. I mean, I'm created in his image, so maybe he did. Who knows? But it's the greatest sermon ever given. And it's really broken up into sections. In the first section, in where we are now in chapter 6, we're in a section where Jesus has been talking about spiritual disciplines. If you've been with us, you know that 2 weeks ago, we talked about giving. Last week, we spoke about praying. And again, this morning, we're going to talk about fasting. And one thing we've noticed over the past couple of weeks is that this isn't a message where Jesus is telling his disciples that they need to do that. A lot of times you can come to church and you can hear a message and it's an encouragement, like we need to do these things. We need to step out. We need to serve or whatever it is. Where this isn't a message where Jesus is having to tell his disciples to do these things, because he expects that as his disciple, we would be people that pray. We would be people that give, and that we would be people that in fact fast. He's saying, this is important. He isn't saying, this is important, you need to do these things. Instead, it's more, when you do these things, you need to do them in the right way. The emphasis, again, isn't on do them, it's how to do them. How to do these things, the right way to give, the right way to pray, and the right way to fast. Because if you've been with us, you know what they've been seeing from the religious leaders. The examples that they've been given weren't great. Because again, the religious leaders were all about the show. That's why twice in this chapter, in verse 5 and here again in verse 16, Jesus calls them hypocrites. That Greek word, hypokrites, which describes an actor in a play, someone that wears a mask. So in other words, Jesus is saying, don't be like those guys that are just putting on the show. It's all about the production for them. Don't be like them. It's all about a performance. Now, as we talked about the fact that Jesus expects for his disciples to be people that give, to be people that pray, and to be people that fast, I would imagine, or at least I would hope, that for most of us in here, those first two are probably pretty normal in our lives. I hope that if we are believers and we attend a fellowship, whether this one or if you're visiting from out of town and that you have a fellowship you call home, that we would be givers there. I would really hope that we'd be praying, not just, you know, monthly or weekly like we would when we give, but Paul said that we would pray without ceasing. And so I think that we're pretty familiar with those things. But I wonder how many of us in here do we make fasting a normal part of our Christian life? Are we fasting before the Lord? And I'm not going to do it. I don't want to embarrass anyone or myself for that matter. But if I were to say, hey, who in here has spent time fasting in the past 3 months? How many hands would we see? Maybe 6 months, maybe we'd see more, maybe 12 months. What if I were to say, who in here has ever spent time in a biblical fast? That's important, we'll talk about that in a second. A biblical fast before the Lord. How many hands would go up? And I'm not talking about just like a health benefit, right? Because there are health benefits that come from fasting. But I'm talking about that intentional time of praying and seeking the Lord. And if you would raise your hand, God bless you. I mean that sincerely, not in a whole bless your heart type of way, but in a seriously, you're blessed. I'm sure you've probably experienced blessing in those seasons when you fast. But for the rest of us, and again, I'm not trying to condemn anyone or make anyone feel bad. But I think just saying that, I think for a lot of us, if we're honest, yeah, we'll think about giving. We'll think about praying. We just don't think about fasting and coming to the Lord in that manner very often. At least a lot of us don't. Maybe a lot of you are more like me. When you think of a fast, you think of fast food and not fasting from food. Let's be honest. I heard one pastor say, we don't fast and pray as much as we eat, fast, then pray. We will probably do that at home groups tonight. Eat, fast, then pray. But we need to understand that fasting, it's an important spiritual practice. There's blessing in it. There's purpose in it. You see it all over the Old Testament and the New Testament. You would see people fast personally, for personal fast. You would see group fasts. I know many of you were with us when we were meeting in Northbridge Baptist Church, their fellowship hall. Well, I know right now they're going through a day, 21 days of fasting as a church where they're all choosing a meal each day for 21 days to fast. And I know they did it last year. And Joe, the pastor there, said it was very powerful. Maybe it's something we'll do one of these days. But you'll see personal fasts. You'll see group fasts. You'll see people fast for reasons like King David. Remember, he spent time fasting after his sin with Bathsheba. And when his child was born and became sick, he was fasting and he was seeking the Lord. And he was grieving for his child. You see times in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, when the Moabites and the Ammonites, they joined forces to try to destroy Judah in the south. And King Jehoshaphat, he cried out to the Lord in prayer, and he called for, I think it's powerful, it speaks to a lot of what we're going through today. He called for a national time of fasting to seek the Lord in a time of distress. Think about the book of Esther, Queen Esther. She was made aware of this plot by wicked Haman. And so she, that wanted to destroy all the Jewish people. And then she called for the people to fast as she was prepared to go before the king. Daniel, when he was seeking direction for the nation of Israel, he fasted and prayed. Jesus, He spent 40 days, we know, in the wilderness, fasting and praying. It was important. And I often think this week, I was thinking about it like, man, if Jesus thought it was important for him to fast, how much more important is it for me to be someone that spends seasons of fasting? Now, you might ask, okay, because I do think there's a lot of confusion, what it means to fast, what it looks like. You know, I mentioned we're not talking about fasting for health benefits. We're talking about biblical fast. And you might say, well, what's the difference? Well, the simplest biblical definition for fasting is giving up food for a period of time in order to focus your thoughts and your attention on the Lord. That's the most simplest form of biblical fasting. And the reason we can come up with that definition is because the word that is used for fast here in verse 16, it actually comes from two ancient Greek words. Guess what they are? One means to eat. The other one means, guess what? Not. So that's what it means in the ancient Greek, not to eat. And it's important that we understand that that is what Jesus is talking about when he says, when you fast. He's talking about when you go through that season of not eating to refocus your attention and your heart on the Lord. We need to understand, that's important for us to understand, because in our Christian world today, people call a lot of things fasting that I just don't know if the Bible necessarily recognizes it as fasting. You ever hear anyone saying, I'm gonna fast TV this month? It's a good thing to do, it really is. Or you'll hear people say, I'm gonna fast chocolate. Try that this month with Halloween coming up. Or I'm gonna fast coffee, people will say. Or maybe you grew up in a church that practiced Lent, you know, that 40-day period before the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You commemorate his 40 days in the wilderness, and so you're gonna pick something and fast it for those 40 days. And listen, these aren't bad things. Okay, I'm not saying you shouldn't do these things. I'm not saying if you do these things, you are not biblical. That is not what I'm saying at all. If the Lord puts it on your heart to participate in Lent, go for it. Go for it. There could be a lot of good in it. If the Lord puts it on your heart to exercise self-discipline in any area of your life at any time where he says, hey, this has become a distraction, maybe you should set it aside for a while. Then do it. Those are good things, right? I mean, especially if you say something like, I'm going to give up my phone outside of work so that I can be more intentional with my family. Like, that's good to practice self-discipline. Or if you're someone, I know some of you in here will go through seasons where I'm going to totally cut out social media. And that, again, those things are good, especially mentally. The times that I've cut out Twitter, I just feel so much better. And then I guess I'm a masochist, and so I go back to it, right? What do? I don't like this, but I go back to it. Where else am I going to get mad with my fellow sports fans about our teams losing all the time, right? But it's good. I'm saying, like, if the Lord should put something on your heart to give up for a season or for seasons, it can be a lot of benefits to that, because we can become so easily distracted. But again, when Jesus says, when you fast, he's talking about eating. Because I don't think it's a surprise or shock to say to anyone in here that we can be easily controlled by our bodily appetites. Some of us more than others. You know, my wife, she can literally go days, not days, but a day, and she'll be like, oh yeah, I forgot to eat today. Like, what? Like, I literally never forget about eating. It's sometimes all I ever think about, you know? And you look at my wife, you look at me, you'd be like, well, that's obvious. But it's like, how do you forget about eating? So not everyone is like this, but a lot of us, I would think, maybe I'm speaking to the guys more than the ladies, but man, we wake up and the first thing we think is, I need coffee and a breakfast burrito. That's why we feed men breakfast, burritos at men's breakfast. We're easily controlled by our bodily appetites. They can be strong. And so when we take time to detach ourselves from these bodily appetites, practice self-control, we're starving the flesh, right? We're starving the flesh so that we could feed the spirit. And there can be this heightened sensitivity to what the Lord is doing and saying and where he's moving. But again, we have to remember, it's not just to not eat as a, you know, lose weight quick. Again, you can do that if you want. You can fast for all the health benefits. You have the freedom to do that. But let's just be clear before the Lord, like, this is why I'm fasting. But if you're going to fast, why don't you just use, hey, I'm going to seek you, Lord, in this. And if there's any health benefits that come from it, great. But my motivation and my intention, Lord, in this season is to seek you and see what he does. Now, historically, it was known that the Pharisees, they fasted twice a week, Mondays and Thursdays. And when they did, they wanted everyone to know it. Just like when they gave, they wanted everyone to know it. Just like when they prayed, they wanted everyone to know. It was always a self-righteous thing. And so that's why Jesus says again in verse 16, "Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites, with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." You could just picture it, right? These guys fasting. It says they have sad countenances, these long faces looking all depressed. If you saw them on the street, you'd be like, man, what happened? Who kicked your dog, man? Like, and no doubt they would have this respond with a very weak and feeble response. And maybe you've known people that have been like this. And it's like, if you must know, I'm fasting before the Lord. You ever known anyone that? It's like, dude, don't fast if you're going to act that way. That's what Jesus is saying. Don't do it like that. Get rid of the sad face. You know, people think, but people's response to that would be, oh, you're so amazing. Twice this week? You did it twice? I can barely fast a meal. And you're fasting six. They ate that stuff up. They loved it. That's what they were looking for. In addition to their sad countenance, Jesus says, they disfigure their faces. Well, that sounds uncomfortable. But that literally means that they made themselves unrecognizable. They wouldn't take care of themselves. They would let themselves go. They wouldn't anoint their heads with oil. That means they wouldn't like wash their hair. Gross. They wouldn't brush their teeth. They would neglect personal hygiene with their unkempt robe and their hair all disheveled. And again, you would see them and you'd say, hey, you're not good, man. You don't look right. Oh, I forgot. It's Thursday. You're fasting. Again, you're so godly. And all this sad countenance and this disfigured appearance was for one purpose. And the purpose was not to draw near to the Lord. It wasn't to get the attention of heaven, but it was to get the attention of the people. That religious show, that performance that they loved to perform. And Jesus says to his disciples, listen, my disciples don't do that. Don't be like them. Which again, I've said this a couple times over the last few weeks. It is just so sad to me that Jesus has to say to the religious leaders, like, don't be like them. Don't be like those guys. I'm there like, well, if I'm not supposed to be like those guys, then who am I supposed to be like? You know what Jesus would say to that? Me. Not Josh. Jesus. That's what he would say. A lot of times, like, I want to be like more like the pastor. I want to be more like the pastor's wife. Some of you in here, you know me. It's like, yeah, I don't know. But you know what? It's about being like Jesus. So he's like, don't be like them. Don't be like them. And if you do, and if you do all your giving, if you do all your praying, if you do all your fasting for the oohs and ahs, for the pats on the backs, for the way to go mans, he says you have your reward. You better enjoy it with your feeble response. Oh. I'm fasting. You better enjoy it when they say, good job, because that's your reward. Listen, friends, Jesus wants us to fast. We're going to talk more about the benefits and the blessings of it here in a second. But for us to receive those benefits and blessings when we fast, it has to be done with the right heart, and the right motive. Anytime we do anything for the Lord, it needs to be done with the right heart and the right motives. And this goes all the way back to living in relationship with Jesus as a disciple. Because there is nothing in my flesh that wants to do anything with the right heart and the right motives. Everything in my flesh wants to do everything for who? My flesh. And so as I live in relationship with Jesus, as a disciple, we've talked about this. If you haven't been here, we know to be a disciple was to describe someone as if they were being covered in the dust of the disciple, the rabbi's feet, because they would be following the rabbi so closely that they would learn everything in the attempt to be like him. It was always the desire of a student, a disciple, to be like the teacher. And so as we live in relationship with him, and he does this work in our lives, we can approach giving, we can approach praying, fasting even, as just a form of worship and something that God is doing in me. Because I want to. And I want to draw near with him. And so my motives become right because his Holy Spirit is at work in my life. If I think that I can have the right heart and the right motives without living in relationship with the Lord, I'm only fooling myself. It's something he has to do. And again, when you approach these three spiritual disciplines, when you approach fasting with the right heart and the right motives, there's great blessing in there. He says again, jumping down to verse 18, he says, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who is in secret will reward you openly. When you come to the Lord in fasting with the right hearts and the right motive, you can expect a response. You can expect reward. That's what Jesus is saying right here. But I think we need to be clear with it, because sometimes we can fast with improper motives to get the blessing. And I want to be clear here, because the Lord says, store up your treasures in heaven. Yes, we should be, storing up our treasures in heaven. But if my motive for fasting is to somehow get the upper hand on God, to like twist his arm into a line to my will, then that's an improper motive for fasting. Wouldn't you agree? If I'm saying, okay, I'm going to fast because I really want this done. Lord, I've prayed today, read my Bible, 4 chapters. Now I've fasted. Anytime. It's not a hunger strike. Fasting isn't a hunger strike. To be like, Lord, do it. Come on, man. Lord, tell me. I'm going to keep you striking a little bit longer. It'd be good. But it's not. We're not trying to get the upper hand on him, to twist his arm. That's not the purpose. The purpose of fasting is to humble ourselves, is to draw near to him, to express earnestness and seriousness, where we seek to deny the flesh and seek the Spirit and feed the Spirit. And when we do, scripture shows us there's something very powerful in that. Maybe some of you have experienced God responding to you after a season of fasting. And I'm not saying I'm not promising that he's going to respond in the middle of your fast. He might, he could, but again, it's not a hunger strike. But I think of someone like Cornelius, that Roman centurion in Acts chapter 10 says that he was a godly and devout man. But the thing is, he was a Roman centurion. So he was seeking the Lord, but he didn't really know how to seek the Lord. You remember that? And it says that he had spent time praying and fasting when God gave him a vision to send for Peter. How God just spoke to him and revealed himself in a way through prayer and fasting. Maybe you feel like you haven't connected with the Lord lately. Maybe you feel like you need a special revelation of something, or just a word for something going on in your life. Maybe you just want to come back into relationship. Maybe he's saying, hey, why don't you fast? Spend some time. I think about in Acts chapter 14, they were praying and fasting, and God revealed his will to Paul and Barnabas, set apart. Is it 14 or is it 13? Man, now I'm up here questioning myself. The story remains, whether the chapter's right or not. Where Paul, I think it's 13, isn't it? No, no Bible scholars in here? He's like, you're the pastor. We're looking at you, man. Hey, sometimes happens. But the story is of Paul and Barnabas in that church in Antioch there, they were praying and they were fasting and seeking the Lord when the Lord said, hey, set apart for me Paul and Barnabas. And they were sent out on their first missionary journey after a season of fasting. You have something going on in your life? You need direction? This is why I'm convicted. I was convicted a lot this week in this area. Like, there's so many times that I'm seeking direction in something, and I don't even consider fasting. But you see it in the scriptures. You see Paul and Barnabas, man, how God respond after a season of fasting. You think about 1 Corinthians chapter 7, another area where I was convicted this week, because it talks about husbands and wives fasting together. Should we do a show of hands? How many husbands and wives in here, you fast together? Again, if you do, God bless you. I imagine it's very powerful. I do think if me and Jess were to say, you know, Tuesday this week, let's fast and seek the Lord, you know, on behalf of our kids, on behalf of the church, I can almost promise you that that will probably be one day of intense spiritual battle, because there's nothing that the enemy would love more to destroy that unity between you and your wife. And as you're fasting, and you, if you fast together, and you're coming to the Lord together, I mean, just think about what that does to your marriage, how strong that unity that it creates there, and the devil's going to come against that and be like, I don't want that to happen. But there's power in it. If the Bible says we should do it, then maybe we should do it. Jesus talked about how fasting was essential for difficult situations because of faith that is needed in those situations. You think about the transfiguration on the Mount. Remember, Jesus had just been transfigured up there with the inner three, the three disciples, Peter, James, and John. Moses and Elijah, they show up. Just this incredible spiritual moment. You remember the disciples like, hey, let's just live up here. Let's build a house and never come down. Sometimes I feel that way. Like, you're in this place, like, I just want to stay here with you, Lord. It's like, no, we got to go back to the valley. And as soon as they come back down to the valley, off the mountaintop, they're hit with a father and his son who was demon-possessed. And the disciples are like, we couldn't do anything about it. This son comes to Jesus, or this father brings his son to Jesus. Jesus heals him, casts out the demon. And the disciples, they look at him, at Jesus, and say, why couldn't we do that? We tried. You know, you told us that we'd have the power to do these things. You sent us out expecting to cast out demons. Why couldn't we do that? You remember what Jesus said? This kind does not come out except by prayer and fasting. It's an interesting response, because if I'm Andrew and I'm there, I just picked a random disciple that wasn't on the mountain. But if I'm Andrew, I'm like, when did you fast? You just came down from the mountain. When did you fast? I think the point is that if fasting is a regular practice in our lives, as Jesus expects it to be, in those seasons, he's going to create in us a level of faith that when we are approached and confronted with difficult and even demonic situations that can come against, man, there's going to be power to overcome. At the same time, I think it is very applicable to a difficult situation in the moment, that some things are only cast out by prayer and fasting. I've said that a lot about people that have fallen away from the Lord. I've said, it's like, man, it seems to me like this is only going to be cast out by prayer and fasting. The only way that God's going to get their attention is if we get serious for them on their behalf. And getting serious might be spending a season of fasting for them. So it increases faith, right? There's power in it for difficult situations. So he says, when you do, right? If you have a difficult situation this morning in your life, I encourage you, man, seek the Lord through fasting. I admit, though, I don't know, like, how many of us, that's not just the first thing I think about. And that's my prayer this morning, is that it would be one of the things that we think about. You know, that we just, oh yeah, let's press. I was listening to David Guzik tell a story about fasting if you don't know who David Guzik is, he's a Bible teacher and commentator in California. And he had planted a very successful spirit-filled church in Simi Valley, California, when God sent someone to ask him to go plant a Bible college in Germany. And so obviously that's a big deal. He had teenage kids at the time. This is his story, obviously not mine. And he said they were praying about it. And they needed to make a decision. They had no clarity. And when his wife, it's always the wife, man. Always the wife, more in tune with the Spirit for some reason. And his wife's like, hey, David, we should probably fast about this. And he was like, oh yeah, we probably should. And they did, and they got the clarity that they needed. Long story short, they went and planted the Bible college in Germany. But it's just, I mean, just something we don't always think about. So we ask the Lord, Lord, let this be something that you put on my heart when I face a difficult situation. Maybe if you have a rough patch in your marriage, that it would be something that you run to, right? We run to prayer, but what about fasting? Because again, you're drawing near to the Lord in an extreme way when you say, hey, I'm gonna separate myself from these bodily desires and I'm gonna focus on you, Lord. I'm gonna expect that you're gonna work. I don't know when, I don't know how, but you tell me you will, and he will. So he goes on, right? Expects for us to fast. He says, don't do it like the hypocrites. But verse 17, some pretty good advice. When you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. Take a shower, Jesus says, when you fast. Clean up. Change your clothes. In other words, go about your daily routine. Don't make it like something special so that everyone knows that you're doing it. Wash your hair, he says. Don't try to get people to feel sorry for you. You know, I made fun of people that like to let people know they're fasting earlier today. You heard me. And has any of you ever done that? I will admit that I have. I remember one time specifically. I was a young Christian. I can't remember how many times. Like, I think back, especially when I was a baby Christian. I'll go both. Baby child Christian in the Lord. And the knuckleheaded things I'd do, that the Lord must just like look at me as a toddler in him and be like, oh man. Then he would say, bless your heart. I remember one time, it was the first time I chose to fast. I'm a brand new Christian. I did silly things because I thought I was doing them right. And there's grace. But I remember like fasting, and my buddy Ben, who's my best friend, best man at my wedding, we went to Applebee's. I'm like, why am I going to Applebee's if I'm trying to fast? Is there even Applebee's anymore? And I remember sitting there with him, and he's got like the baby backs or something. And I'm like, I don't really want one. I just was like, he's like, just have one, dude. I'm like, no, I'm fasting. Then why are you here? Because I want you to know that I'm fasting. Oh my gosh. Lord says, don't do that. Don't do that. As much as possible, when we fast, it needs to be done in a way that we carry out our daily routine. I know there's a couple in our church that they fast quarterly. Reason I know that is not because they advertise it, but because I spent time in a discipleship group with them. And, you know, and I don't know when they're not going to know, because they don't act like it. They take showers and they clean themselves up when they come to church. But they talk about like how they experience the Lord and how the direction that they get and the confirmation or just the comfort that they receive in those times. We've talked about all these great blessings and rewards that can come from fasting, whether it's special revelation like Cornelius or direction like Paul and Barnabas or the power over difficult situations like Jesus and the young demon-possessed boy, or to strengthen your marriage and bring unity if unity has been broken. But there's also the reward of an increased focus on the Lord and his will for your life and what he's doing. There's the reward of spiritual breakthrough. But most importantly, the greatest reward is that when you fast with the right heart and the right motives, you enter into the presence of God. You experience him in a way that is different. The Lord says, draw near to me. James said this, draw near to me, and the Lord will draw near to you. And I believe on the authority of God's word, if you seek the Lord in a special, unique way, like fasting, he's going to draw near to you in a special and unique way. How? I'm not sure. But I trust that he will, because that's what his word says. Now, before we close this morning, I do want to give some practical points. This isn't an exhaustive list of how you need to fast when you fast. It's not a legalistic thing by any means, but I think these are just some practical points or guidelines that will help you when you fast. And as far as the nutritional aspect of being able to prepare for a fast, and there's people around here that I could point you to that would help you as far as like how to prepare for it physically for a season of fasting. But here's a couple just practical guidelines that you might consider when you fast. First, I'd say plan your fast. Decide how long you're gonna fast. If you wake up in the morning and be like, I'm just gonna fast today and see how long it goes. Well, made it to lunch. Plan your fast, right? Whether it's 24 hours, sun up and sun down. I mean, it's good to do that now, right? Sun up to sun down is pretty close together nowadays. In this season, it's like, I'm going to fast in the dead of winter from sun up to sun down on a cloudy day. But plan your fast, right? And, you know, with planning your fast, you can plan your schedule. Like, oh, I know I have a lunch meeting on Wednesday, so that won't be a good day to fast. Just plan your fast. Second, and this kind of goes along with planning your fast, but you might want to talk to people that might notice, like my wife, right? Like, hey, babe, I'm going to fast today, so don't really worry about me for dinner. And, you know, just let them know, like, let people know in your family. You know, maybe I'm going to tell her, hey, I'm going to fast today. So she's like, okay, you're going to be hangry, so me and the kids are going to be out. So, but, you know, plan your fast. You tell them, not in a way that you're trying to draw attention to you, but in that, like if I tell Jess, hey, I'm going to fast and this is what I'm fasting for, this is what I'm seeking direction in, then she knows how to pray for me while I fast in that specific way. The third thing, and this I think is really, really important, especially if you've never fasted before the Lord before, is don't set your expectations too high, okay? Again, it's not a legalistic thing. There's freedom in it. But fasting is hard, okay? It is, especially if you've never done it. It's a struggle. You're going to experience weakness. Your body's going to crave food. And I say that because sometimes people will approach fasting as if like, okay, I'm going to fast, and then I'm going to expect to experience this like spiritual ecstasy, if you will, in the moment when I fast. And then you're just hungry. You're like, Lord, I thought I was supposed to feel different. No, you don't expect. I mean, can the Lord, I'm not saying he won't connect with you in that way, but I would just say don't set your expectations that high. Just come before the Lord. If you get hungry, acknowledge, Lord, I'm hungry, and this is why I'm drawing near to you, and I want to deny the flesh, and I want to seek you, and ask for his strength in it. Fourth, I'd encourage you, and you know, like I mentioned, there's people in our church that fast on health issue or for, you know, for the health benefits, and they're regular with it, and they would probably encourage you this too. If it's your first fast, start small. Don't start like, I'm gonna do a 48-hour fast. Have you ever fasted before? No. Again, maybe just start with a meal. Maybe start with two meals. Maybe start with that sun up to sundown fast. And then maybe the next time you go to 24 hours, then maybe you go to 36 hours, then maybe 48 hours. And if you go longer than that, I would also encourage, if you plan an extended fast where you're going to say, hey, I'm going to fast for a week, I wouldn't do that alone either. I heard a story one time about a guy who wanted to consecrate himself to the Lord on an extended fast. And he went to a house in the mountains, and with all the great intentions, and he fasted for a long time, and it did mind, and your body, like if you're not used to it, like there can be effects that take place. And so you want to just fast with someone. So if they see something's off, think, hey, maybe we should eat something today. Maybe you're wondering, hey, how about coffee or caffeine or something without calories? Is that cool? Yes. No, I'm saying that's between you and the Lord. That's between you and the Lord. Because I think for some of you, denying coffee might be more difficult than denying the food. And so I think whether you're going to fast from your coffee or your tea, that's between you and the Lord. Six, and this is really important too, you need to consider your dietary needs. I mean, if you've got high blood pressure, or not blood pressure, sorry, blood sugar, I don't know. I'm not a doctor, but it doesn't seem like that could be very safe. And so just consider what your doctor says. And I believe if you can't fast for more than a couple meals, that, you know, you just go before the Lord. He knows your heart. And so just kind of be wise with it. And lastly, again, remember the purpose of fasting is to seek the Lord, is to draw near to Him. That's the purpose, is to connect with Him. Again, the health benefits are great, but if I'm fasting before the Lord, I need to be before the Lord and for Him to be my motivation. And so I hope you leave here this morning with a better understanding of the importance of fasting. I'll be honest, this is the first time I've ever given one specific Bible study on fasting, but this is the beauty of teaching through the Word, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, because this is what we're talking about this morning. And I just know personally, I was this week, I'm like, man, I need to fast more for this reason, not just for the health benefits, but for to seek the Lord. I need this to be my motivation because, man, when I look at the scriptures, God does powerful things in times of fasting. And I want to experience that. I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss out on the blessing in it. Just like with giving and just like with praying. All three of them, he says, hey, you do this in secret, I will reward you openly. I don't want to miss out on that. And lastly, I'll close with this. Jesus spoke a lot about the danger of being hearer of the word and not doers. And so if I'm someone that only hears about fasting and hears about the importance of it, and here's about the purpose that God has for it, if I only hear about it, but I never do it, then I'm a hearer of the word and not a doer, right? So I encourage you, sometimes, maybe this week, sometime in the next couple weeks, as the Lord leads, not in a legalistic way, but I encourage you to find a time. Again, maybe you start with a meal or two. Maybe you start with a day. And to fast and just ask the Lord for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit in your life. If you have a family, in your family, I would ask if you would please ask the Lord for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon this church, our country. We have elections coming up, that God would have His hand upon those and that we would trust Him in it. So I just encourage you. And if you want to tell me about it afterwards, I'd love to hear like how God, what you experienced and what God said or revealed to you, or maybe He didn't, so I can continue to pray for you that He would speak to you. So, right on, let's pray. And Lord, we thank You that You provide so many ways that we can come to You, and in return, we can also be blessed by You. And again, maybe there's some of us in here this morning, maybe our marriage has not been the strongest lately. Maybe You're calling us to come together and fast and seek You together. Maybe there's an issue at work and really don't know what to do or don't know how to handle it, or you're just overwhelmed. Maybe you're saying, Lord, You're saying, child, come to Me. I thank You for the sensitivity to Your Holy Spirit and how You've opened my eyes and understanding to the importance of fasting just through this study. And so I pray that is the same for all of us in here, that we'd leave here feeling encouraged and even excited to be able to seek You in this way, especially if we've never have before. And for those that have, Lord, continue to bless them, continue to build their faith, continue to draw them closer to you day by day. We love you, and in your name we pray. Amen.